past the Vazool, baby.
Come on in.
Welcome to Scream Until You Like It presents the Amityville Retrospective. I am one of your hosts, Ryan, and with me as always is my host, Nicole.
Hello. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Okay. I'm sick, so you can probably hear it in my voice. Mm-hmm. And I know one of my eyes is ridiculously red. I've got drops for it, but I don't know if it's working that well. But that's not going to stop me from talking about tonight's movie.
No, it's not.
Because as I mentioned before, this trilogy right here, starting with It's About Time and then Next Generation and Dollhouse, this is the meat and potatoes for the Amityville franchise for me. This is my main course. This is what I love about this franchise.
Yes.
And the next two after this one are just as bonkers. As I mentioned, though, this is the one we were talking about tonight is Amityville, It's About Time. But if you saw it when it originally was released on VHS, it was called Amityville 1992, It's About Time.
It began the night your father returned from Amityville.
What? Saw what?
Evil.
Oh, of course.
There's no sense in looking for it. See, I think it's a sign. It's trying to make this house its home.
Oh, boy.
You won't regret this, I swear.
You might.
Before we start talking about the movie, though, as always, we like to shoot the shit a bit about other movies we've been watching. Nicole, what you been watching? It's been a while since we recorded, so I feel like you might have something.
I know. I've actually been to the movies twice since the last time we talked. I did not get snowed in again this time. I did see Lisa Frankenstein.
I've heard a lot about this.
A whole lot of fun. It was wonderful. This girl, whose name escapes me again, I apologize. She was in Freaky with Vince Vaughn, and she's in the new Abigail movie that's coming out in April. She's fantastic. It's basically about a girl who falls in love with a statue in a cemetery, and he comes to life, and she starts to piece him together with the parts that he was missing. And it's just it's so much fun. It takes place in the 80s. Carla Gugino, I think is how you say her name, is in it. She's wonderful and everything. But yeah, I would highly recommend it. It was very funny. It's not really hard. It's more of a dark comedy, but it was a lot of fun.
I've heard a lot of people talking about it on the Facebook groups there, and I've heard nothing but positive things.
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant because I'm not huge on the Frankenstein story, but I figure once it comes to streaming or something, I'll definitely give it a shot.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And yesterday, not yesterday, Tuesday, I completely lost track of the days. Tuesday I saw One Love, the Bob Marley story. And I actually cried. I don't cry in movies ever. And I was crying at the end. I was.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about Bob Marley to go see it, so.
He was just a fantastic human being. Very big. He was a very big peace activist. And yeah, it was very good.
It's good. I've seen nothing but overwhelming positivity towards it. It doesn't seem to be doing very well at the old box office, but
I don't know why.
The release window. I don't know.
Maybe
February is a bit of a weird time, maybe, to release a Bob Marley movie. I don't know.
Yeah, it should be in the summer, right?
Or in April 20th.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Anything else?
No, that's about it so far. How about you?
One of my kids has discovered the show Archer.
Okay.
Have you ever watched it?
No. Mm-mm.
So it's H. John Benjamin, Bob's Burgers. You know, Bob from Bob's Burgers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he plays Archer, a spy. It's basically kind of like a. Did you ever see that movie, The Man, or that TV show, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
It's a little before my time.
The movie just came out like maybe 10, 12 years ago. It had, what's his name in it? Superman, Henry Cavill.
Okay.
I think.
I almost said Christopher Reeve.
No.
That's where my Superman is.
basically it's a spy show. Private investigator, spy firm, almost kind of James Bondy, but not working for the government. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably hilarious. I can't remember the names of the other actors in it, but like everybody is just phenomenal. It has what's her name in it, the mom from Arrested Development.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think
Jessica
of her name.
Walters. Is that it?
I don't know.
Can't remember. Anyway, everybody is hilarious in it. The animation style is kind of pulled from like something you'd see out of those 50s noir comic books, mm-hmm. Only modernized. And I cannot just stop saying how funny this show is. If you have not seen Archer, you absolutely need to watch it. This is one of those shows. There is maybe, I think, 9 or 10 seasons of it, or even more maybe. And you will just binge it. Once it starts getting stale with the spy stuff, they do several seasons where like things go outrageous. We have like some Indiana Jones. We've got, they even like delve into space travel, and it even kind of makes fun of like Ridley Scott's Alien a bit. Like it goes all over the place.
Okay.
Definitely, definitely worth a watch. And if nobody's checked it out, I absolutely, like if you're fans of Venture Brothers or stuff like that, absolutely check out Archer. H. John Benjamin is amazing in it, but again, he's H. John Benjamin. He uses the same voice he uses for everything else. So it's, and they do actually, even in Archer, they make fun of that in one of the episodes where Archer winds up having amnesia for a bit and running a burger restaurant with this family that he thinks is his. It's totally buzzer. But yeah, that's about all I can think of. As I said, there were other movies, but I've been sick and the fever won't let me remember what they were.
That's okay.
Which is not a problem for tonight's movie, because I think you just watched it too, didn't you?
I just finished it like 15, 20 minutes ago.
So this is fresh. This is it's fresh in our head, folks. We're right going to see how much we can recollect. From Amityville 1992, It's About Time.
Yes.
Amityville 1992, It's About Time was directed by Tony Randall. That was the first surprise for me. I recognized the name, so I looked him up. Tony Randall was the guy who did Hellraiser 2.
You say Tony Randall, I think of The Odd Couple.
I get sympathy pains. Like when Glory was pregnant, I retained water.
But yeah, Tony Randall directed this. This was the beginning of the end for Tony Randall. Although he did direct 10 episodes of, what was it? Was it Power Rangers? No, it was that show with the dude from Star Trek. Fact or Fiction? Man, I'm just throwing stuff out.
Yes, okay. I know exactly who you're talking about, the guy with the beard.
Yeah, I was like, you got to know this show. You got to, don't leave me hanging on Fact or Fiction.
Yes, I know that one, yes.
That's not what it was called. That was like the subtitle of it, but that's
Beyond
what I always
belief,
remembered as.
Fact or Fiction.
Yeah, and he'd give you three stories, and one of them was fake. And you'd have to, at the end of the episode, you'd have to guess which one was fake.
You ever gone mountain biking?
What do you want to be when you grow up?
What's the right tip?
Have you called a plumber to your home lately?
How superstitious are you?
How much money would it take to make you spend a night in a cemetery?
Would you display this as a trophy?
Do you have a pet?
Do you have a sweet tooth?
Do you believe in the power of a curse?
Have you had your hearing tested lately?
Planning a trip soon?
Can you remember the tallest man you've ever seen?
Do you love to go a-wandering beneath a clear blue sky?
Yep.
That was a great show.
I love that show.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. After this, basically, Tony Randall just directed some TV stuff. He did like a few episodes of Power Rangers. And he did a movie like recently called A Doggone Story.
for yourself before I call my dad.
It's me, Murphy.
Whoa! Double whoa!
You guys never met a dog?
Not a talking one.
I need the dog back in the lab.
So yeah, Tony Randall, as I said, kind of nothing to do after this one. But hey, if this was the last, you know, movie you were going to be really be remembered for by the horror community, what a movie to be remembered for by.
What a movie.
The movie has quite a few. I don't know if you recognized a lot of them. I'm sure you recognize Stephen Mott. Matt? Yes. Matt? I don't know how to say his last name.
Matt, yeah, something like that.
I know him as the dad from Monster Squad.
So do I. Okay.
And that's great. Like, what that's else cool. do you need to be remembered yeah. for? You were in yeah. Monster Squad.
Yeah.
I also recognize Megan Ward.
Mm-hmm.
She was the daughter, Lisa Sterling.
Yes.
I remember her from my favorite... Air bubble in the throat there. I remember her from my favorite Full Moon movie. Full Moon is the production studio that does stuff like Puppet Master, Subspecies, Trancers.
Right.
But they did a movie called Crash and Burn that has Bill Moseley in it. But it also has Megan Ward as the final girl. And Kid Ryan had a huge crush on her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason when I saw it, her name in the I'd forgotten she was in this movie. So as I was watching, I'm like, Megan Ward, I'm like that's the chick from Crash and Burn. So yeah, that
I
was
know her from Encino Man.
Oh yeah, she was,
he was the main Man. Love interest in Encino Man. Yeah,
and she kind of fell off the one of those actresses too. You just got to wonder, like, could she just not get cast anymore? Did she just decide to drop out of acting?
Yeah,
because like I figure once you're an Encino Man, you kind of made it in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, look at Pauly Shore, Brendan Fraser. Who else was in that?
Sean Astin. Sean Astin was in it, and Peter DeLuise.
Yeah, all these guys are like, who's Peter DeLuise?
He was the bad guy. He was the asshole.
Yeah, but what is he now?
Her boyfriend. Oh, I don't know where he is now.
Okay. So Megan Ward and Peter DeLuise, for whatever reason, Encino Man didn't click for them.
Yeah.
But Brendan Fraser, Pauly Shore, and Sean Astin basically get to write their own checks now. So
yeah.
But that's about it. I can't think of anybody else that was. Unless is there someone you can think of that you recognized?
No, that was it.
Well, then, without further ado, let's jump right into it. Nicole, you want to start us off with talking about Amityville 1992? It's about time.
Well, this one was not the worst so far, in my opinion. Obviously not the best either. The father comes home from a business trip with an antique clock that he got, that he says is, you know, he got for a steal, and it was actually a clock that was in the OG Amityville house. So, of course, it's evil. And the evil clock takes over and possesses half the people in the house. And it actually, while it was kind of, it did have some long drawn out parts, I was a little bored here and there, but the special effects were great, you know. That's practical so effects fun. Were fantastic. I actually saw a kill that I had never seen before in my life, and I've seen a lot. And that was the stork.
I knew it. I said that to you. I'd said, I'm like, there is a kill in this movie that you're going to fucking love.
That stork kill was great. I've never saw anything like it. It was that was a first for me.
The build up to it.
Exactly. It was like a Final Destination build up. Like,
this Rube Goldberg trap.
Yeah. Like, is she going to fall through the crack in the street? No. Is she going to get hit by the car? No. Plastic stork.
What was that beak made out of?
Exactly. Like, is it steel? Is it?
And her reaction. Yes. To real, you could like, it is, she's aware of how ridiculous this is, and you could tell she's, yes, like, as if this is how I fucking die.
Yes. It's just, she's laying there laughing like, oh, she narrowly escaped getting run over by the van. And nope. Killer stork on the top of a diaper truck.
Perfect. So you're referring to the death of Iris.
Iris, yes.
Yeah. Iris is a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And she's friends with Rusty, the son of the family.
Yeah.
Like, he's skipping school to go play chess with her. I think it was chess.
Yeah.
And she kind of has a bit of a, is it a psychic thing going on? Is she just keen on what's been going on with Amityville? Like, she seems to know there's some kind of evil in the house.
She does. And we find out about midway through the movie that she has all these books on ancient, you know, devil worshiping, torture, sacrifices type, you know, stuff. And so she does know a lot, but we see her in the very beginning of the movie, the opening of the movie, when she's walking past the house and she senses something's wrong when the dad gets home. Mm-hmm. And walks in the house with the box with the clock in it. So, yeah, she knows.
And what an opening that is. We got the thunder, we got the lightning, we got a house that clearly is not the Amityville house.
Yes.
And yeah, the dad, Stephen Matt Jacob, walks in with this fragile box, and it's got this really ugly looking clock. And that line feels so forced when he says, I got what this house always needed.
Yeah.
Like, the house always needed an ugly ass clock. Like, it doesn't even match the decor. The feng shui is completely thrown off here.
It doesn't. It doesn't. The house is totally late 80s, and he brings in this, like, 1600 Salem clock.
So maybe the clock already had its claws in him by that point?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. That's because that's the only explanation I can get for bringing that ugly ass clock into. But yeah, we get, and this is, so he's had his ex-girlfriend, Lisa, watching the kids, which is already, I don't know, I don't think I'd ever get any of my, I mean, if I had to, yes, I would get an ex to watch one of my kids, because I do have exes that I'm amicable with, and absolutely I would trust them with my children, no problem. But I feel it's a last resort kind of thing, just for the awkwardness, which apparently there isn't a lot of, because when he gets back, he immediately bones her.
That scene.
That is like some Red Shoe Diary stuff.
Is it me, or was she like, really, really sweaty? Like, they were both, like, she got hosed down.
They were both so sweaty. I noted that.
I have never gotten that sweaty.
I'm having flashbacks to, like, back when we didn't have air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And Jen and I, yes, you do get very sweaty, but you stop because you're like, this is just not fun anymore.
Right.
I'm very sweaty and I'm uncomfortable. Because it is like they were someone. Let me tell you, the guy who was in charge of misting them down.
Oh, he didn't
was working this. Double. Was working like double time and a half. Like,
he wanted that overtime. He, because her hair, for the most part, her hair was dry, but the rest of her was like dripping, soaking wet.
God, sweat. And he was so bad too. And he's got one of those, like, I don't know how to describe it, like a crink, not a crinkly face, just he's got very distinguished lines in his face. And they were pooling with this sweat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They got drenched.
And then it cuts to, like, the scene just, it's still them, but it cuts to another scene and all of a sudden they're bone dry.
Yeah.
So that's just, the whole thing just was awkward as fuck.
It was.
That was one of the least sexy sex scenes I've ever seen in my life. And they were so proud of it, the way they were filming it. They were like doing like panning and angles. Uh-huh. And it stayed on for way too long. It became very uncomfortable. Uncomfortable than the flowers in the attic. Like, I was more uncomfortable in this sex scene than I was later on in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, he bones her.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately, in like two scenes later, she's talking to her boyfriend Leonard over the phone.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we're not supposed to root for her.
No.
But she's our hero.
But she's the hero.
Next morning, Lisa he's arguing for Lisa to stay, but she has to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then he goes for a jog.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in this jog, Nicole?
I don't know. It's never explained. I don't understand. He's jogging and all of a sudden his neighbor with her German Shepherd. And we'll get back to the German Shepherd again with the whole Nazi thing. But the neighbor with the German Shepherd. This
movie's fucked.
So it's all over the place. Is just standing there. Like catatonic. Doesn't move. And he's jogging. He jogs into this dead end where there's chain link fences. And she just lets go of the dog. And the dog attacks him. And that was the longest animal attack I have ever seen.
Oh, it goes.
Every time he gets halfway up the fence, it grabs him again. You know, it's just a constant, you know, up and down. And he gets taken to the hospital. And, you know, I had to close my eyes because I didn't know what they were going to show. He apparently breaks a bottle and shoves it in the dog's face to get him off. And then later they come to see the dog, see the neighbor with the dog about the, you know, when he had his rabies shots, and the dog's fine.
Dog's fine. It wasn't peaches
on his face. Nothing. Peaches.
Just yeah. Peaches the dog. Peaches the German Shepherd. I'm all for a cute name for a dog, but I got to be honest. I owned German Shepherds growing up. Mm-hmm. Peaches never popped into our head once.
No. No.
But hey, you know, you do you, polyester jogging suit lady.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the bottle for the dog wasn't that bad. But this is where the acting really gets actually that's a great segue into what I was saying before about the acting. So she realizes she now has to take care of Jacob. Lisa has to take care of Jacob because he's all mangled up by this dog. Mm-hmm. And in the hospital, she's like, I've got stuff. I've got my own life. Like, I can't take care of this asshole. And the whole way home, she's giving him shit for being attacked by a dog because he went jogging. It's not like he was doing something. He's trying to better his health.
Yeah.
She's giving him shit.
And she's the hero.
And she, again, this is our hero. Again. But the very next scene, it cuts to the dad. Like, she's got him in bed and opening the blinds. And he's like, oh, the light, it hurts. And she's all like, oh, honey, here, let me get. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You just said as soon as he's better, you're out.
Yeah.
Like, you have no emotional attachment to this man. But now you're like coddling him and almost mothering him. Like, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
It's like they were working on two different scripts and they just combined the two together. There's a script where Lisa is the villain and there's a script where Lisa is the good person. And unfortunately, during the editing process, somehow those two got mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's completely like somebody just threw it in a blender and just, yeah, put it together as it was flying out. there's no... No consistency at all.
Nothing makes sense. Especially with, I was going to say with Rusty is the one character that kind of does make sense. He's just like the asshole teenager.
Yeah.
I keep saying Lisa. Lisa is the daughter. Andrea is the girlfriend.
Andrea. Okay.
So Lisa gets possessed and we do get a cool kill out of Lisa's possession. It's actually one of the kills in the opening title card. The Andy, the boyfriend, who, I mean, I'm 99% heterosexual. Did you see?
Yes.
The size of that. Have to say.
That is the biggest set of balls I have ever seen.
That was it too. It wasn't the cock. It was the ball.
But huge. He's in like tighty whities. Yeah, he's in tighty whities, and that's all you see.
Like, and the tighty whities should be constricting the balls.
Exactly.
So big and heavy, they were pushing the underwear down.
Yeah, it looked like somebody shoved two eggplants in his underwear. Terrible.
Okay, Edgeby, I'm going to put a clip in so people will realize it's not like we're being creepers. We're literally not. Center stage, folks. It's right there.
You can't miss it.
This is his underwear.
Mm-hmm. Yep, in your face. Huge.
But yeah, I do like that kill with the meltiness. I like a good melt. I don't feel enough movies do a melt kill. You got like great ones like RoboCop.
Right.
But this one was pretty good.
It was. It was. Like I said, the practical effect, I will take practical over CGI any day. And this was a great practical effect.
But yeah, we got a little bit ahead there. So yeah, Lisa gets possessed, but Rusty is clearly understanding that something is wrong with this clock. And the clock kind of realizes that Rusty knows. So the clock is like trying to make Rusty look like a Nazi.
I don't understand. I don't understand where that came in.
Like, why can the clock do stuff? Why can the clock do stuff outside of the house?
Why? Because you get peaches. Why is the clock painting swastikas on the neighbor's garage? Where did the swastika thing come from? Why is that even in? Of all the things you could vandalize, why would you use a swastika in 1992? Why would you use? That made no sense. It's not like the clock was like Hitler's personal time device in his bunker, you know. It's how the fuck would a clock know what a swastika is?
Could you imagine at the end of the movie it did turn out that it was Hitler's clock?
At least it would explain it.
Yeah, so that's what, yeah, but yeah, the clock's trying to frame Rusty for hate crime. It's not working, except that Andrea is getting even angrier with Rusty. Mm-hmm. But that's the extent of what happens out of this.
Yeah.
And Andrea really is, Jacob is continually going more insane and they're just leaving him in his room. Andrea is just becoming angrier and angrier with Rusty. And then she brings her boyfriend to the house. Why does she bring her boyfriend to the house?
Because she's our hero and she can do anything she wants.
Terrible person.
To be a psychiatrist and have a full vial of Thorazine on him.
What the hell is this one?
Thorazine? Your fella here is going to go to dreamland for a day or two.
Is it dangerous?
I hope so.
And Leonard is completely useless. He has like that one fantasy where Jacob is rightfully probably going to shoot him with a Luger.
Again, the Luger. There's something World War II-y going on here.
I didn't even connect it. Maybe Jacob draw the swastika.
Maybe Jacob was secretly a Nazi. Who knows?
Oh, now I got to kind of watch Tony Randall's other movies and see if maybe this is the theme.
Maybe it's a recurring theme for him. Yeah.
That's right. I didn't even make the connection. But yeah, and other than that, Leonard has the creepy bath where a random ghosty ghost strangles him.
I don't understand this. He's in the bathtub and that black tar stuff comes out and he's wiping it all over his face thinking it's water.
How do you not know? I didn't notice as soon as it was coming out of the faucet. As soon as that shit touched my toes.
Yeah, you would know. You know, yeah. You're not going to wipe black slime all over your face thinking it's water and then look down and realize, oh, look at that. I think the one coming out of the tub was the boyfriend with the...
Oh...
Which made no sense, because when he went down originally, when he died in that drain or that mud sinkhole thing, whatever it was, his whole face got melted off. And then he comes up out of the tub and he's like scratched up. It made no sense.
Well, the important thing is it doesn't matter, because in about 8 minutes, Leonard is dead.
Yes.
he's
hanging.
He's hanging around outside, getting some fresh air.
Yeah.
From a second story window. I'm assuming Lisa killed, or maybe Jacob did.
Somebody did. Probably Jacob.
That beeping was that my lasagna was ready, but the fam's home now, so they can take it out. Oh. It was in case they didn't get back in time. Yeah, I'm going to lean towards Jacob. But yeah, we're kind of at the, we've jumped around a bit, but really the movie, like up until this point, Rusty figures something's going wrong. House frames him for hate crimes. Lisa gets possessed. Lisa kills Andy. Stork kills Iris. And we're basically where we are right now. Andrea realizes shit's going down. So does Rusty. Sorry, I do want to mention one of the highlights for the movie for me. Dick Miller is in this. Like Gremlins.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Mr. Futterman. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Dick Miller.
When the house lights the hedges on fire, again, why is the house able to do stuff out? Like, why is the clock able to deal with stuff outside the house? I don't.
Why is it able to put the van in drive and have it almost run over Iris?
Nothing.
The van went off on itself. Yeah.
But yeah, the hedges have caught fire and Andrea runs over. And it's Dick Miller that's fighting the fire with a garden hose.
I didn't
even. And I was like, oh, Dick Miller's in this. Like, why is Dick Miller in this? I don't think he knows Tony Randall.
Random cameo. Yeah.
It's just weird. Usually with the Dick Miller, you can kind of connect the dots.
Yeah.
Although I guess Dick Miller was in Demon Knight. Is there any?
He was, yeah.
I don't think there was any connection in Demon Knight. Maybe they just hired Dick Miller. Yeah. Which is great because, you know, more Dick Miller, the better. I'm just absolutely. Usually Dick Miller just, I feel Dick Miller's entire acting career has kind of been like buddies of his from the Corman days.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, you want to be in a movie? And Dick Miller's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yep. Yep.
I don't feel he's actively tried to get a role in his life.
Right.
Oh, but he wasn't termed. Oh, but that was James Cameron and that was another Corman. See?
There you go.
Oh, you could almost play 6 degrees of Roger Corman like you could 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dick Miller, that's all I want to bring up. So we're at the finale. Lisa is fighting Rusty and Jacob is fighting Andrea. Now, before we get into the flowers in the attic stuff with Lisa and Rusty here, when Lisa first gets possessed and she comes down dressed in
like a slut that
outfit, Rusty has a 110% inappropriate reaction as a brother reacting to his sister.
Hello.
And that was the first I was like, oh, this is kind of feeling a little flowers in the attic. Yeah, I hope this doesn't go anywhere. It does. Lisa tries to
seduce
/ murder Rusty. It's as awkward as it sounds.
Yeah, he tries to save her. And she sticks her tongue in his ear.
And then he kills her
with the
by shoving a guitar. I don't know what, I'm sorry, I'm not a guitarist. I don't know what that line is called, but it's the line that you connect the amp to the guitar with.
Just a little silver plug thing.
He sticks it in her mouth and cranks it to 10, which I feel shouldn't matter. I feel once, like if you're going to get electrocuted from the line, cranking the volume up to 10. I mean, if there's by some fluke, some guy who's into guitars listening to this, like feel free to comment. Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong.
Clint should comment. We got to tag Clint in this. He would know it with the electricity thing. Yeah.
Damn, maybe we should have Clint on more. There's going to be more of these electricity-based skills. So Lisa's dead. She's got little burn marks around her mouth. I did like the set though, like the where like it was the room, the bloody handprints everywhere. Yeah. Like that did look cool. It was kind of creepy.
It did, yeah.
And Jacob and Andrea are fighting, and Jacob's leg looks nice and pussy and goopy. I don't think we mentioned that much. We did mention he was up in his room, but he's been actively going more and more insane.
Yes.
As the movie goes on, like he had designed this almost looked like the Beetlejuice thing, all the little houses because he was doing his project.
Yeah.
And then Andrea goes up and it's all the Amityville houses.
Yeah. And what's his name? Leonard is actually hanging. There's a little Leonard hanging from a noose outside.
Oh, I didn't see that. Window.
Yeah. All the little gravestones with their names on it, and Leonard's just swinging.
This movie's awesome. But so yeah, they're duking it out. She's got some kind of architect tool. By the way, those pictures he was drawing, is he a real architect? Like, those are some shitty drawings of the Amityville
house. I don't think so.
But yeah, she, you know, succeeds. Jacob is murdered. So Jacob is dead. Lisa is dead. Rusty is a small child of 5 or so, because the clock can alter time.
Yeah.
So after everybody's dead and Andrea realizes she still has to battle the clock.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of this, Nicole?
There was actually... The one thing I did like about this was that the clock, she tried to rip it off the wall, it wouldn't rip off the wall. And so she started destroying the wall around it. And what we find are gears and, you know, all of the, you know, internal things of a clock have spread inside the wall behind it. So it was like it was growing roots or something, which I actually thought was pretty cool. I thought that was a pretty cool concept.
I agree. That is cool.
After that, it was so bad. The clock just starts spinning. And then in the next scene, she's like 90 years old. And it wasn't even her. It was another actress.
I mean, you know what? I appreciate that. The makeup artists knew their limitations. And they were like, nah, bro, just hire somebody who's old.
Yeah. Which
we can't do this. Okay.
Disappointed me because it was just like a split. It wasn't even like a gradual thing. Mm-hmm. One minute it's her, the next minute it's this older actress, and I'm like, who the hell is this person? And then it pans out and she's in her clothes, and I'm like, oh, is that supposed to be her? Like, it was awful. Yeah, so time just completely fast forwarded and made her 90 years old,
but not before she could get the gas line ripped out and blow the house / clock up in some really great early 90s shitty CGI effects.
Yeah, pretty much.
I enjoy bad CGI more than I enjoy good CGI, if that makes sense. And I absolutely loved the CGI in this.
It does.
But it was all just I was going to say it was all just a dream, but I guess it's not a dream. The clock kind of pulls a Ebenezer Scrooge Ghost of Christmas Future thing, and we're back to the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Where everything plays out the same, right up into the reveal of the clock. And what does Andrea do this time, Nicole?
She picks up the, I don't know what it's called, a drafting tool.
Yeah, it's like a ruler or something.
Yeah, it's like a ruler with like a hammer head type thing on it. And she butchers the clock with it. She just goes full on sledgehammer, like destroys the clock with this drafting tool. Yeah. And nobody knows why. Yeah. They all think she's just nuts.
Do you remember what Jacob says to her when he's like, what's all that about? Do you remember what she says?
No.
She says, it's about time.
What the hell was that all about?
It's about time, that's what.
See, at that point, I think I probably nodded at all at that point. So we get the title reveal in the very end of the movie.
Title drop.
Yep.
And it cuts to credits.
Yeah.
Fucking banger of an ending.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, we were a little back and forth, but I felt we got the basic plot of the movie. I mean, to be fair, if you're listening to this and upset that we didn't get the plot right, then just go watch the fucking movie. But yeah, I think, go ahead.
I was going to say, so just go watch the fucking movie. But be forewarned, you are going to see some balls.
Those are the biggest fucking balls I've ever seen.
Biggest balls I've ever seen.
So big. Yeah. In that, do you have anything else you want to say about the movie?
I think that about sums it up.
Then we're moving on to the rating space. Nicole, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So my oh God. So sorry. So my rating system, I apologize. It was just the funniest thing I've ever seen. My rating system, I just do 6 basic categories: opening, ending, story, cast, acting, and effects. And I do you know, 1 through 10 average amount. And this one came out to a 3.2. And the only reason it's even that high was because the practical effects were very good. And the balls. Yeah.
So, unlike Nicole, I have no system. I just rate how I feel. And I'm giving this movie a 6.5
out of 10. Damn!
This movie loses a bit because, yes, you did mention it does drag in some spots.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is like an hour and 35. Cut 10 minutes out of that. Give me an hour and 25. Perfect. Perfect runtime.
Mm-hmm.
The acting is so all over the place. It is over the top. The effects are so much fun.
They are.
The story is ridiculous. It's dumb. I am a fan of schlock, and this is Amityville schlock, and this is good schlock. This is 90s schlock when they still threw money at these things.
Mm-hmm.
And as little as it was still some money. It was some breadcrumbs to release a direct-to-video movie, and I absolutely love it. I'm very excited for the next two movies after this, because I do feel out of the three, this is in my opinion, the quote-unquote worst one out of the three. Looking forward to getting the next two watched. And yeah, 6.5 out of 10. Had a great time with it. Anywho. Most of that's going to get cut out, by the way.
Yes.
Anywho, those are our ratings for Amityville 1992. It's about time. I think we're just about done here for tonight. But before we go, as always, Nicole, what do you got to talk about? Let's hear about this wonderful, wonderful group of people who let us actually do this shit every other week.
This is all Mike and Victoria who run Scream Until You Like It, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. It's everywhere. So like, subscribe, and do all that good stuff and support these guys because they're amazing.
Fantastic. And as always, if you like listening to me, please check out the Hormonal Werewolves. I am on there as well. And we just shoot the shit about movies, new and old, good and bad, everything in between. But that is just about it for tonight and another episode of the Amityville Retrospective. So as always, I've been Ryan.
And I have been Nicole.
And remember,
smile, you son of a bitch!
Sort of cheer him up a bit. Edges are well below code now, huh?